Welcome back to the Crossover Cellist. I'm your host, Louis Patzner. And with me is multi-instrumentalist, songwriter, videographer, renaissance man, Jamie Turner. Thanks for being on the show, Jamie.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you also for setting up all the audio equipment so we can record this in hi-fi.
Yeah, well, we're at the nice studio of 25th Street Recording, so it'd be a shame to not use at least a couple of microphones.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and they're nice, they're shiny. The one I'm using is shiny. I forgot my gadget that records things. So your music project is called Here and Soon.
Yes.
All right, that's spelled H-E-R-A-N space S-O-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an accent over the A?
E.
The E, and it's a line. And what does this mean again?
Here and Soon. So Heron is Old English and Germanic.
Yeah.
That means to hear and understand sound. It's not the mechanics of hearing. It's the comprehension and understanding of sound. And then Soon is, again, Old English, which comes from sound.
So, Jamie, where are you from?
Originally, I'd say culturally, I'm more British and European.
Yeah.
But technically American. And, I've been here for, like, in this area, like, Oakland for, like, the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And I've had the pleasure of playing with you, like, a lot of times.
Yeah, we got together, it must be a couple of years at least now.
Yeah, but you first came and joined me here in the middle of the night at 25th
yes.
Street.
And it was mysterious.
I remember, so at that time, I had started recording here. John, the studio manager, had offered me the nights.
Yeah.
And so every time, like every day, everyone left around 8 p.m. I normally got in here about 10 p.m. and would then set up for my night to be on my own. But only through those 2 years, I think there was only two nights, but I was actually joined by people.
Uh-huh.
And that was you and Shayna.
Uh-huh.
And so normally I would just go like absolutely insane on my own, have a bottle of bullet rye normally to keep me company. And sometimes I would, you know, enjoy its company too much and fall asleep in the vocal booth and wake up in a panic of being sleeping in a sound isolated room. Have you ever slept in a completely sound isolated room at night?
I can't say that I have.
It's a really strange experience.
Yeah.
Every time I did it, I woke up in a panic.
Oh, no.
Because it's like a deadly silence and it's pitch black.
Doesn't that help you sleep, though?
It helps you go into too deep a sleep. And then you wake up in a pitch black room, quite a large room with absolutely no noise whatsoever. It's how I could imagine waking up dead, if that's a oxymoron. Well, you should come over and sleep in the ISO room on a couch.
Oh my God.
In the pitch black one night.
I bet you I would sleep so well. Mm. I should do that.
You might wake up in a panic. But yeah, so on those 2 years, all of those nights, you and Shayna were the only people to join me through the night. And you added strings to these recordings. And that was the first time we really got to know each other. And I remember sitting down at the piano and having to... because I never got to learn, you know, music theory, notes or anything like that. So you and Shayna were like the perfect people and partners to come in to actually just listen to my ramblings, try and sing and hum and play notes and try and let you understand what it was, what we were trying to do.
And what is that? What is it that we're trying to do? I think today we were trying to do something similar. What we were trying to do back then, but it's a little different.
But I'm gonna throw this back at you because you're the one who got to walk in on this.
Yeah, right.
So I was there for like 2 years discovering exactly what I wanted to make.
Yeah.
And then you just get to walk in to lots of different situations and you play with lots of people, and sometimes you have like scores in front of you, sometimes you have, you know, very famous pieces to play. So I wonder how the experience was for you.
Well, okay, yeah. I didn't know what to expect, really. We came in and you kind of told us what to play. So this was a more by ear session, I remember. And you had certain lines that we extracted from other parts. And I remember we were recording over fairly developed versions of these songs. And the songs are like, there's piano, guitar, bass, a lot of electronics, drums, fake drums, real drums. It's cinematic, 21st century, moody, pop rock core.
I'd agree with that. You do a better job of describing it for a genre than I.
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, and so we also just laid things down, and I personally don't think I was sure of how it was going to fit in. And you tweaked it a lot. You're a tweaker of music, I would say. The electronics you do, I think, are really interesting sounding, and it doesn't sound like you're using like a MIDI or a Casio keyboard, or, you know, it's not, the sounds don't sound cheap.
I'm not afraid of technology in music.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a purist in the sense of most of the stuff is played and recorded live.
Yeah.
But I'm not a purist on the capabilities which became available with things like Pro Tools and being able to chop and edit and throw things together in different weird ways.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a big positive, and it's just an adaptation with what's available today.
Totally. And we've kind of even taken that further for when we play just the two of us, because now you have this entirely like electronic setup, sample board, chaos pad. What do you call that wiggly keyboard at the top there?
The Roly with a 5D touch.
Uh-huh.
It's basically, if I can describe it, it's a keyboard made out of recycled sex dolls. These kind of silicone, strange to touch, elastic.
Yeah.
And so you can bend between notes. And yeah, it's an interesting piece of gear. And then I've got some ghost drum kit sticks that you can play into the air, and that's sending MIDI triggers. And so I've got my own samples into that.
It's so funny looking.
I really enjoy it. So yeah, like,
it's cool.
To try and twist like what we did over 2 years, like in the studio here, into a live performance, I just wanted to recreate the production each time.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, there is some looping, and there's a lot of gear around me, but that's kind of all of the gear which I used to create the songs.
Right.
And it seemed most honest. Like, we did put together a larger band, and we had a 7-piece band.
Yeah, right.
But it seemed more honest to the actual sound. It was just me in a room, and so I shouldn't be afraid to like try and recreate that.
Totally.
To go out live. And, you know, again, you came and joined me sometimes in the evening, so you can come and join me sometimes on stage.
Right, which is my absolute pleasure. So, okay, speaking of the record, it's done, right?
Yeah, technically.
Technically, it's done. Do you know when we're going to see it?
I don't know. I'm at this stage where I want to be out playing this live, because I know how much things change.
Totally.
And so that's why I'm kind of concentrating on getting out of the studio, and then just see how that responds. And then who knows, I might come in and tweak, or I'm quite happy to let those ones go and just continue on.
Yeah. So you are releasing demos, though.
Yeah.
Right.
I am.
And that this is sort of like a personal project, to a challenge as well, right? To release something every week on Mondays.
I had gotten so into the habit of keeping the music and everything that I was creating so isolated to myself.
Yeah.
It was never created to be, like, it wasn't in the forefront of my mind to be releasing music.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't a business, like, in that sense. It was just literally, I'd been traveling for a long time. I'd spent my life kind of devoted to this. And then the studio appeared at the perfect moment, and I felt like I could be here and spend the time. And so I recorded. It was just a natural progression on that.
Right.
But it became the habit to record, spend years doing it, and then bounce it down and let that live in a folder on its own.
Yeah. Huh.
And so now I'm trying to get into the other habit of creating music which is heard.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, my challenge is to keep on releasing music, and whether that be, you know, you and I creating a very strange piece one night here in the studio, and then recording that and putting it out, which we've done.
Yeah.
And there's a video of that, which is on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah. You're sort of good at making videos. You know what I mean?
Well, we had, again, it's another thing. Like, there was a drum kit here, and so I became the drummer. There was a piano, and so I've been sat at the piano here for 2 years. And so also there are, you know, cameras. There's four cameras here. And so I used the cameras.
Yeah, right.
It's the environment to learn how to do things, since there's all of these amazing things here.
Yeah.
So I've done a few videos here for myself. Like, I had an idea for a video for one of the songs called Barricade, which the concept around the song was someone being close to me and having to isolate and protect themselves from too much influence that I could have on them, and for them to stay themselves. And so that was what the song was about. And so I had this idea of a video where my influence, my character, would be hidden from that other person. And so I had prosthetic skin put over my eyes and over my mouth, and so, like, it masked my features. And so I was directing this video and working with a camera op but works here at the studio as well, Gabriel Shepherd. And I wrote out a book, like a little booklet of each shot, and drew pictures of each frame. And
storyboard kind of thing?
Yeah, a storyboard with lots of numbers around it, because on the day of shooting, my mouth was covered and my eyes were covered.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so also I was naked.
Great.
So it was an extremely strange experience to be in a room. I think there was about 10 people on the crew, and so I couldn't speak, and naked for 10 hours.
Dude, that's too much.
And the room was quite dark as well, and it was the strangest experience.
I'm sure.
But we did this music video, and I was calling out which shots to do just by sign language.
Yeah.
And we did it, we completed it, and again, that video is set in a folder here, because I've gotten into this habit of creating things and letting them sit there.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to break that again. Like, that's part of that challenge of every Monday I'm putting out a demo, something which I've created this week.
Yeah.
And every Thursday I'm just trying to get myself into the habit of putting out like one of these videos which I make.
Yeah. And I think it's great. I mean, you know, we gotta hustle.
Yeah, it's partly down to the hustle of being a musician, and that's what musicians do. You make music and you put it out. You're either playing live or you're doing that. But it's also just like breaking a habit.
Yeah, right.
And it feels nice.
And that's on SoundCloud, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So then, where do we watch the videos?
The videos come out on my YouTube channel and Instagram. You get to come into these kind of spaces and these studios. We played together, and you get to play with lots of other people, and you've been here and played with lots of other people.
Yeah.
So you get to listen to other people's music in a very different way.
Yeah.
Where you're actually, do you feel like you have a deeper understanding of like how that person writes and their interaction with music and why they make certain choices? Do you hear those intricacies with different people?
I think so. But, I mean, it just really depends on how involved you are with people. So, like, you and I have kind of played together a lot more, so I'm maybe more of an insight into your process. Yeah, I mean, everybody has different processes of going about things. Like, I was just recording with Roxy here. She had me playing off of lead sheets, and she's somebody with like a very specific vision that's also allowing a lot of freedom in how you're playing things. Yeah, I mean, everybody's a little bit different to work with. Just try to be flexible.
Do you really care what the person's like, or does it just come down to the music?
That's an interesting question. I mean, it's kind of the less I know, the better situation. If you're somebody that I, don't respect and have a problem with, I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened, but if that were happening, we probably wouldn't get to the point where I'm showing up at the studio. At the same time, I like to think that I can keep things professional, and if I don't like you and you really want me to be on your album, and then I'm going to go in there and do my best to deliver, you know, the goods.
Or just go in and sabotage. It, like, if you really like feel the person is evil and it needs to be
right
stopped.
I mean, luckily I've never been in that position where I had to sabotage someone's project.
I have. I've been in that position. It was a few years ago. I was in Cambridge in the UK, and I was in a punk grunge band.
Mm-hmm.
Our bassist had booked a show.
Yeah.
He had asked us to all learn a cover for this show, and we just thought it was like a normal gig. Just turn up, load in, you know, four-piece band. I was on guitar and vocals. Our bassist, Steph, was the one who was organizing this show. We had another guy called Sean who was on synth and keyboards. This was a few years ago, so he had like a proper tower computer that he would bring. It was like before laptops were really that accessible, and he had a huge computer monitor, you know, like the kind of TV screen size, not flat screen, just like
deep old
monitors, and a drummer. So Steph had told us about this show, and we were supporting another band, and the band apparently were very popular, and so we learnt this song. It was by the Dead Kennedys. It was called Nazi Punks Fuck Off.
Yeah.
And we turned up, we get on stage, I look out at the crowd. It's basically all skinheads.
Oh no.
Puffer jackets, blue jeans, and steel toe cap boots.
This is where?
This is in Cambridge.
Yeah, okay.
The headliner, the band that we were supporting, was the Sons of all of these, neo-Nazis.
Oh, my God.
And so they taught their kids playing, like, songs from Romper Stomper, the film with Russell Crowe.
With Russell Crowe?
Yeah. He was a skinhead in the film. Anyway, so they were playing songs from that film and other
American History X theme song.
Yeah, that ilk. And so we started to play, and then that's when I realized that Steph had intentionally booked this show to
antagonize them.
More than that, so we played, and so he said, okay, like, now we're playing the song Nazi punks, fuck off.
Yeah.
And so we're stood there on this quite small kind of punky, grungy kind of venue, and we start screaming Nazi punks, fuck off. Steph was extremely, like, just up in everyone's face and just, like, thrashing this around. You know how this happens. It's just, like, this absolute madness, adrenaline, cloud of chaos. The crowd rush the stage. They try and stop us playing. The synth player who was playing this old computer picks up his monitor above his head and throws it into the audience at the crowd. Steph jumps off of the stage with his bass kind of swinging in front of him. My guitar went through the drum kit. TK, the drummer, actually grabbed his snare and his cymbals and got out the back door.
Oh, my God. Classic drummer move.
Yeah.
When you're being accosted by neo-Nazis, grab the cymbals and snare drum.
And we had a few of our fans and friends there, and so they were kind of protecting us, and it just turned into complete chaos. And the show stopped, of course, and it just turned into this giant punk versus neo-Nazi fight. And that's when I realized Steph had, like, orchestrated this on purpose to do this.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we learned the song. That's why he booked the show. Yeah. It was his protest to stop something which he was very against.
That's cool. But it sort of put you guys in mortal danger.
It did. He didn't really mind about that, and I didn't.
That's kind of too bad.
I didn't mind at the time. I was a very different person back then. I had purple hair and was mainly wearing, like, hospital scrubs, and just playing this old beaten-up Telecaster, which I'd spray-painted red and pink.
Whoa.
And, it was pretty trashy, but it was a fun time. It was a good time.
That's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well...
Actually, to make it full circle, one of the songs on the record called Who Are You?
Mm-hmm.
The second half of that song is mainly about Steph.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the bassist. But unfortunately, it gets the best of us sometimes, and he couldn't escape it, and he actually killed himself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a few years after that.
So heavy, man.
And so, he's still very present in my music.
Yeah, of course.
And who I am.
Yeah.
And so, there's definitely, like, lots of emotions and lots of songs come up.
Yeah, I would say that the music has depth that reflects its topics. Wow. Okay. Anything else we should talk about before we listen to this song? What's the name of this tune?
114.
114, Here and Soon, Jamie Freeman Turner, thanks for being on the show. And remember, it's not celloist, it's cellist.
Thank you, Lewis.